From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Our guest today is a young man who has interviewed Karl Rove, Ben Affleck, John Stamos, and Al Franken, among others, for MTV. He has been coached by Geraldo Rivera, and he's appeared as the lead character in a Western called Bulletproof Jackson, which became the subject of a separate documentary, Becoming Bulletproof. That documentary was written about by the New York Times and distributed by Morgan Spurlock Productions. Jeremy Vest also has a rare neurodevelopmental disability called Williams Syndrome. He now lives in Wilmington, North Carolina with his parents, and he's with us today to talk about what some folks call a disability, his career so far, and what's on tap for the future. Jeremy Vest, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you so much, and hello everybody who's listening in.
Also with us today is Jeremy's mom, Sue Vest. Sue, welcome to the program.
Thank you for inviting us.
And Dylan Patterson is an English instructor at Cape Fear Community College. He's also vice president of the board for Superstar Academy, a nonprofit working under the aegis of Theater Now. Superstar Academy's mission is to provide low or no-cost theater experiences to school-aged children in the community. And Dylan Patterson is a co-founder of Theater for All, a theatrical group for people with disabilities. Dylan Patterson, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And we're inviting you to join the conversation. If you have a question for Jeremy, his mom, or Dylan Patterson of Superstar Academy, you can call us this Thursday at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Jeremy Vest, we're going to get into your experiences as an interviewer for MTV in just a moment. But first, tell us about Williams Syndrome from your point of view. How do you explain it to people who've never heard of it?
Well, Williams Syndrome is something that's very, very rare to have. People with Williams like music. We're very musically inclined. We play all kinds of instruments. We go to concerts. We do a lot of things together. We also are very, very huggable and polite and kind and nice to a lot of different people who don't expect it. They see, like, why would someone want to hug me when I don't want to be hugged? Like, you have to know your boundaries, and, you know, it's different from just being a normal person.
And is that something that you have to work with your mom, Sue, and Dylan, who is a good friend of yours?
I have to work with my mom on that because she tells me, like, they don't want to be hugged. You have to understand that. I'm like, okay, I understand now, you know.
And so what's the signal for that? When you meet someone, how do you decide if you're going to go in for the hug or not?
Well, I kind of see how they react to it, like react to me. Like, I know that some people don't mind hugs and do mind hugs. But, you know, hugging is something that people have to be prepared for, I think.
I think that's a really good way to look at it. And when we were talking before we came on the air, you talked about the fact that your mom kind of tells you to watch questions that are too personal. You're really interested in people, and you like to ask a lot of questions. Tell us about that. How do you decide that a question is too personal?
Well, you don't want to ask, you know, who you voted for, because that's a bad question to ask.
And why is that? Why is that a bad question?
Because people will tell you the answer that you probably don't want to hear.
My husband wishes I would understand that concept.
Even though that, you know, that's a question that, you know, I don't want to talk about, it's mm-hmm. because, you know, I have my own personal, you know, things, and I try not to think about, like, oh, God, this person's the you-know-what now, so.
You have very strong political views.
Yes.
In the documentary, Jeremy.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that on live air.
That's okay. This is about us getting to know you today, so that's all right. You said in that documentary, Becoming Bulletproof, which is about the making of this Western that you starred in. You were the lead character in that Western, that you said in the documentary you don't see having Williams Syndrome as being a disability. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, you have a disability. There's really nothing you can do about it but just enjoy the person that you are. And I see it as a personality trait. That's what I think it is. You know, You have a different personality than a normal person, you know? And
do you think there are advantages there that other people don't have?
Yes.
Like what?
Like just being different.
I think that's an advantage. Sue Vest, can you talk about, as a parent, how you learned about Williams syndrome and what it's actually meant for you and why Jeremy lives with you, what it means in a practical sense?
Well, we found out when he was three. Jeremy was quirky as an infant. I was a new parent, and I really wasn't sure what was going on, but I knew things were different. And we found out about it in kind of a roundabout way. What was interesting was that he was getting occupational therapy at the time, and a young man who was about 12 or 13 with Williams syndrome looked at him and said, "That kid's got Williams syndrome." And we're like, "What is that?" We went to a geneticist, and he said Jeremy did not have Williams syndrome. So we were happy not to have the label at the time. It did help through our school battles to keep him in a higher functioning program. But then when he was 10, we heard a heart murmur for the first time and went back to the same hospital, Children's Hospital in D.C., where the cardiologist looked at Jeremy and said, "Have you ever been to a geneticist?" And yep, the guy down the hall. And he said, "I think you need to go back." They had developed a test, which they hadn't had when he was three. They'd isolated the gene, and they could do a FISH test and determine that it was positive. And so he was officially diagnosed at the age of 10.
And what does that mean for you in terms of the care that you provide?
Well, we've always tried to push Jeremy to as hard as we could and to do as much as he could. One of the things I noticed at the time was that individuals who were diagnosed later in life accomplished more. One lived alone, one was driving a car, and I think they weren't told when they were young, "Well, you have Williams syndrome, you can't do math, or you can't do this." And so I felt like it was good that we didn't have a label and we were able to keep him in a higher functioning classroom. He was able to learn to read very well. But we, as he gets older, things are more difficult. I think Jeremy could live independently. I don't think he would enjoy it. I think he would be lonely.
Yeah. Probably burn the house down, too.
he wouldn't eat very well. My guess is he would eat out. He takes himself out and buys lunch and dinner. And he's not very good with money. So that's a big issue for people with Williams. While he's an incredibly gifted musician, math and money and time and perception are very challenging for him.
That's so interesting that putting a label on it seems to slow down progress for a person. And it sort of brings home Jeremy's point in that documentary about not thinking of it as a disability. It's an interpretation of a personality.
Well, everybody is unique. Yeah. Everyone has challenges. Like you said, there's nothing you could do about it.
Dylan Patterson, you've known Jeremy Vest for many years. How did the two of you meet?
We met in the summer of 1999. I was invited to a camp called Jabberwocky, which is the oldest sleepover camp for folks with disabilities, and it's on Martha's Vineyard. And I arrived there to make a fundraising video. That's why I was there as a filmmaker. And the director of the camp said, "Well, let me go introduce you to your camper." And I said, "Well, I'm not here to be a counselor. I'm here to make this fundraising documentary." And they said, "No, everyone here volunteers and everyone has a camper. And let me take you to meet your camper." And I met this 13-year-old boy who introduced himself as Jeremy Vest. And we have been great friends ever since. And that was, we just did the math before. Well, that was 99, you were 13. So that's 18 years ago.
18 years, yeah.
Right.
And now, we'll get into more of this in the next segment, but you started something called Theater for All, which is under the aegis of Superstar Academy and Theater Now, which is a theater company right here in Wilmington. There's an actual theater, and they do all kinds of work there. But tell us about what launched Theater Now. Theater for All.
We get confused on those, too. Well, what launched it is that moment in 1999, meeting Jeremy, going to this amazing camp, and Theater for All is a ripple from that experience, having the profound luck of meeting, going into this environment of folks with disabilities and these amazing counselors and campers. And then in Wilmington, I'm a teacher at Cape Fear Community College and helped to organize a program called In Cahoots to bring students with and without disabilities together to work on video projects. And then a couple of years ago, Zach Hanner, who's the executive director for Superstar Academy, which is a nonprofit here in Wilmington that provides no to low-cost theater arts education to underserved communities, asked me if I would be on the board. And I said, that sounds great. And I thought about it. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to join the board under one condition. Let's start a theater program for folks with disabilities. Zach loved the idea, and that was sort of the genesis of it.
And now 2 years later, here you are. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking with local actor Jeremy Vest about his life in Wilmington, living with Williams syndrome, and some of the artistic opportunities available to people with disabilities. Also with us today, Sue Vest, Jeremy's mom, and Dylan Patterson of Superstar Academy at Theater Now. And they're taking your questions on this Thursday. The phone lines are now open. You can give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email us today at coastline@whqr.org. And when we come back, we'll hear from Jim. You're listening to Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. We're talking today with Jeremy Vest, who has worked as an interviewer for MTV on a program called How's Your News? We're going to hear about that in just a moment. He's also starred in a Western, and he now lives in Wilmington with his parents because he has Williams syndrome. Jeremy is here with us today, as is his mom, Sue Vest, and one of Jeremy's good friends, Dylan Patterson, who also happens to be the vice president of Superstar Academy at Theater Now, and a co-founder of Theater for All, which works with people who have a wide range of disabilities. If you have a question for any of our guests on this Thursday, you can give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Jeremy, you worked as an interviewer/reporter for MTV on this segment called How's Your News? What did that name mean? How did that name come about? How's Your News?
Well, I used to go to the camp called Jabberwocky, and we would go on the streets and interview people. We would have a microphone, and we would ask people different questions and, you know, try to figure out what we wanted to ask them. And, you know, then Matt and Trey from South Park found us, and they wanted us to keep doing it. And then they decided to do a show with us for 6 episodes. We went to New York and Boston and L.A. and all over the country on a bus for 6 months, just interviewing great people. And we went to some really cool events.
And what were some of the events that you went to?
Went to concerts and different, you know, Miss America pageant.
Wow. What was that
the
like?
Grammys on the red carpet.
Whoa.
Do you remember the prison rodeo?
What's a prison rodeo?
It's a very serious thing to talk about because people who go there were inmates at jails.
Wow. And did you talk to some of the inmates?
Yes. And some of them told me some stuff that I can't repeat on air because it was too terribly, terribly disturbing to hear.
Was there anyone you met there, any of the inmates that really surprised you that you thought, wow, this guy's pretty cool?
Yes and no. Somebody told me that they accidentally killed someone, and that scared me.
That would scare me, too. I would be afraid to hold a microphone in someone's face. Who said that? You also went to some political conventions.
I was lucky enough to go with them to some of those amazing conventions because, wow, here comes, you know, like Karl Rove or like Ben Carson, like all these guys were coming by and I'm like, should I talk to them or no? Like, because they're so busy, they don't have time to talk to people for very long because they're always being shoved by people and big entourages will come through. And, you know, it was a big thrill for me and my friends to see Barack speak.
Did you talk to Karl Rove?
I did.
What did you say to him? What did you ask him?
I said to him that my dad was his biggest fan, which is a true lie. That never happened. That was not even true. Not true at all. I mean, that was a big, big mistake on my part to say that.
Did you ask him any questions?
I said, are you liking the convention? And he said, yeah, he's having a good time. And you know, also celebrities were there, not just politicians that would walk by. You know, some people from like different TV shows and concerts were there. So that was nice to meet them too and talk to them.
You know, I saw a clip of you. I'm not sure if this was from the convention, but Geraldo Rivera.
Yes, that was the convention.
That was the convention. Tell us what he was, how he was coaching you about interviewing people.
Well, he told me that, you know, to interview somebody, you have to be calm and relaxed. You have to know what to ask. You know, you go say like, are you having fun here today? Like, are you enjoying the convention so far? Are you planning to go tonight to hear the big speeches? You know, like, are you going to stay and watch them or do you have to go somewhere, you know? And Geraldo was so funny and very kind and generous. He's a good guy. I really liked him. And
you also talked to Ben Affleck.
Yes, that was a very fun event. That was in Boston back in 2004 with the gang, and we talked to him, and, you know, he was very generous and kind and said some very good things.
What did he say? Tell us what he talked to you about.
That the disability community does belong everywhere, and he said that it's a good thing, so.
Yeah. I thought you did a great job in that interview.
Thank you.
By the way.
Did you find any other interviews that I did that were funny, or?
Well, you know, you interviewed a band called Dispatch. Do you remember that?
I love them. They're my friends, and, you know, I've known Chad, the lead singer, since my early teens, and yeah, Dispatch is a very good band. A lot of people know them.
Okay, the people who don't know them, what kind of music do they play?
They play like reggae, and it's kind of like peace music. They write songs about peace and love and forgiveness, and, you know, they're good guys and fun to watch in concert. So,
in your interview, when you introduced them, you said something like they were the first indie band to have sold out Madison Square Garden. Is that right?
For three nights, they did a show for Zimbabwe, people of Zimbabwe. So they flew them down to perform at Madison Square Garden for three sold out shows. And a lot of my friends from Xena were there to watch that.
Yeah. And then at the end of your interview, you did something kind of unique.
Yeah, I played with drumsticks on some buckets. I'm more of a drum set player, not a bucket player.
Actually, I think it was a trash can, but
trash can, bucket, whatever it is. I don't know.
This was so impressive, Jeremy Vest. He wraps up the interview. The band invites him to jump in with them. And there are these three big green plastic trash cans. And you took out the drumsticks, and you were as good or better than the other two guys.
I can't agree with that because they're two of my good friends, and, you know, Brad's the drummer for the show, and I've known Brad a long time, and the other drummer's a really good friend of mine. His name is Brendan, and he's great, so.
But your musical ability, your sense of rhythm is phenomenal. Do you play instruments now?
Yes.
Tell us about those.
I've been playing the drums since the age of 8. And so
well,
I have
before
a,
8, but you started lessons when you were 8.
I have a drum set in my house upstairs because downstairs is too big to fit it in. And it's a good, decent-sized set.
And your ear is just incredible. Sue Vest, you've talked before about how when he was younger, he could just hear a piece of music and then duplicate it on the piano.
Right. Well, not instantly, but he can, if there's a song he wants to learn, he will work at it and then play it identically to the way the artist would play it. But when he was two, you know, little kids bang on pots and pans, and you know, I'd say, you know, he's not just banging. There's some rhythm here and patterns, and
that's what a lot of drummers have done.
Yeah, and then when he was eight, we finally found some teachers that were willing to take a young student, and he's started taking private lessons. At that point, he's still taking lessons. He worked in our last home. We had a wonderful, wonderful music teacher, and he was with Wes for about 16 years, more of a mentor and a teacher. Now he has a new teacher.
My new teacher is Will Chacon. He's an amazing guy. He's so fun to play with and hang out with. He's a great drummer, and when we do our lessons, you know, he wants me to show him what I've done in the past, and then he'll show me what he's learning, because as drummers, we learn a lot of new stuff, and you know, I'm learning speed right now to play really, really fast. And there's a way to do that. You have to practice a lot, and you have to learn different rudiments and concepts and ideas. And, you know, Will and I, we watch videos on a YouTube screen at his drum room. And I learn different things from him.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with Jeremy Vest, who has worked as a reporter for MTV's How's Your News program. He's interviewed a host of celebrities. He's also acted in films and starred in the Western Bulletproof Jackson. He was part of a documentary about the making of Bulletproof Jackson called Becoming Bulletproof. Jeremy has Williams syndrome, a rare genetic disorder that can cause developmental challenges. People with Williams syndrome also tend to be highly social and very musical. Jeremy's mom, Sue Vest, is also with us today. And Dylan Patterson, a co-founder of Theater for All in Wilmington, which serves people with disabilities. Dylan has also been a good friend of Jeremy's since Jeremy was in his teens. You can ask your own question of our guests on this Thursday by emailing us at coastline@whqr.org, or you can give us a call today at 910-343-1138. We have an email from Jim, who writes, I've met Jeremy and his mom at a few art events and at the YMCA, and I think he is one of the nicest people I've ever met. I had no idea he was a hugger. I am too. I will definitely give him a hug next time I run into him. Jeremy, do you have anything to say to Jim?
Jim, if you're listening, thank you so much for that lovely comment. I hope I see you again soon at an art event or the YMCA. And I hope you're doing well, and happy 2017 to you.
That's very nice. Dylan Patterson, tell us about Theater for All. This is a theater company that is housed at Theater Now, and it's under the aegis of this nonprofit Superstar Academy. What kinds of disabilities does Theater for All accommodate?
It's a wide range, and we don't really, when folks come, we don't ask kind of what's your disability, or we don't have a paperwork to fill out. We just sort of have put the invitation out there, and people have found us. We have folks with Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, and autism, and a real wide span of the spectrum of autism. We're also have students of a wide range of ages. So right now, I think our youngest student is about 12, and then our oldest student is, I think, around 40. So we've had some children around 6 or 7. We don't separate by, you know, children and adults, and that may be something sort of inherited from my experience at Jabberwocky or another camp that Jeremy referenced earlier, Zeno Mountain Farm, where there's not this segregation by adults and children, sort of a community of people that get together, various ages, various abilities, and it's been an incredible 2 years so far.
When you have people with different abilities and different disabilities, how do they work together? Do they learn from each other, help each other? Is it more difficult sometimes for them to communicate with one another, or do you think it's easier?
Well, I think, I mean, not to sort of say kind of a trite statement of we all have our limitations, but I think it's true. I think we, groups of people getting together, regardless of ability, disability, I'm putting that in air quotes, have to navigate spending time together, navigate those relationships. Now, that can be in some ways challenged if we have one student who is publicly does not speak. He does speak at home, but he does not speak. We have students who are difficult to understand. We also have students like Jeremy who are gifted verbally. So we have this wide range of students. Maybe the fact that some of our students don't talk that much is a benefit to us. We're sort of, you have 14 talkers in a troop. So we have to navigate that. We definitely, so my partners in this are Gina Gamboni and Kim, why am I, I'm on the air freak out moment. Kim Henry, sorry,
Kim. It happens
Kim.
To us all the time.
Sorry, Kim. Kim Henry and Gina Gamboni are the teachers. I am merely a volunteer and sort of supporter of the program. And we have finding ways to sort of navigate these challenges. I lost my train of thought when I had my little blank moment there. Is one thing we're really trying to nurture is those folks in Theater for All who are higher functioning to really play a role of mentor, and they've definitely stepped up in that capacity. That's really happened naturally, which I think would happen in any similar group.
Jeremy, is there anyone with Theater for All that you're working with or mentoring?
I'm just a student. I don't think I'm mentoring anybody, but I try to, try to help people out whenever I can. And, mentoring is kind of hard for me to do because I don't know how to mentor someone. I don't know what that means or how to.
And when you think about your experiences in Theater for All, are there people there that you've learned from?
I don't think so.
Well, how about Gina and Kim?
Well, Gina and Kim, of course.
Okay. Well, they're the teachers. Right. And for our listeners who recognize Gina Gamboni's name, we should say we discovered this late in the game. Gina Gamboni was one of the co-founders of Theater for All, and Dylan has said that. She is also a classical music host here, and she is the host of Communique, which is WHQR's daily feature about arts, events, and ideas, and it airs on our daily news magazine. So,
speaking of music, yes. I'm in the Cape Fear Community College jazz band here with Benny Hill, who's a good friend of mine, and I really like Benny. He's a great guy, and I hope, Benny, if you're listening, this is for you, my friend.
Benny has played here, so you are in the Cape Fear Community College jazz band.
I am right now, yes.
And what do you play?
I play the drums.
And what are you working on right now?
We haven't picked out music yet. Yes, Monday was our first day back on together, and it's a very intimate size group right now.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking today with Jeremy Vest, who lives in Wilmington. He has Williams syndrome, and he lives with his parents. And Sue Vest, his mom, is here with us today. He's also an actor. He starred in a Western called Bulletproof Jackson. He's been part of a documentary about the making of that Western called Becoming Bulletproof. And he is obviously a burgeoning and, well, potentially at this point, accomplished musician. Dylan Patterson is with us as well. He's a co-founder of Theater for All in Wilmington, which serves people with disabilities. And you can ask your own question of our guests on this Thursday by giving us a call at 910-343-1138 or emailing us today at coastline@whqr.org. So, Jeremy, tell us about the making of this Western in which you play Bulletproof Jackson.
So what happened was we got to California and we started filming, and we had a film crew come follow us throughout our two-week movie deadline. And throughout that two-week period, they would be watching us film our film. And Michael Barnett brought a great crew from all the way from New York and LA to come stay with us and walk around with us as we were doing our things. And then, we started taking it to film festivals all across the country, and people loved it. There'd be like people with tears and crying and excitement and joy and pride. Like when you're seeing a movie like that, they accept people with disabilities and who we are.
Does everybody in the film have a disability?
They do.
Every single cast member?
Some do, some don't.
Okay. So it's a mix.
It's a mix.
And what kinds of disabilities do people have who are in
the film? Like Dylan was mentioning, cerebral palsy, autism, Williams syndrome. And other ones as well.
And how did you get involved with that film? How did you get that part?
I really don't know. Till this day, I still don't know how I got that role.
How did you meet these guys who make the films? You've done other films with them.
I've known Peter and Will since my early beginnings in life.
Well, this is an outgrowth from camp. It started with really the Hauser News kind of videos that they did, and the same group of people were involved at that time. The other thing they did at camp every year and still do is they have a big musical that they put on at the end of the camp session. And so there's a lot of theater involved at camp and music. So two of the brothers who co-founded Zeno, which is the outshoot, one of the sprouts, I guess you could say, from Jabberwocky, Will was living in L.A. at the time and decided to have a two-week film camp. And they started out with I think they did like a little soap opera kind of a film. And
it did not go well.
Then they did a superhero film. And then they decided that they wanted to make a great movie. And so Bulletproof was the first one they did on location with costumes, with a serious crew, and they made a great film.
We did 10 movies with them.
10 movies?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to hear more about those films when we come back from the break. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with Jeremy Vest today, a local actor with Williams syndrome. His mom, Sue Vest, is also here, as is Dylan Patterson of Superstar Academy and Theater for All at Theater Now. When we come back from this 90-second break, you'll have one more segment to ask your question on this Thursday. You can do that by sending us an email at coastline@whqr.org or by giving us a call today at 910-343-1138. You're listening to Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Today, we're meeting Jeremy Vest, who has acted in films, been part of a documentary called Becoming Bulletproof, and has interviewed a host of celebrities like Ben Affleck and John Stamos, and politicians using Karl Rove, including Karl Rove. You didn't use him, I don't think, although you did tell him a true lie, which we'll remind our audience about in a moment. And this is a show that uses reporters with disabilities to conduct interviews. Jeremy's disability is called Williams syndrome, and he lives with his parents in Wilmington. His mother, Sue Vest, is with us today, as is one of his longtime, very close friends, Dylan Patterson. Dylan is also vice president of the Superstar Academy Board, which is a nonprofit under the aegis of Theater Now, and he is the co-founder of Theater for All, which serves people with a wide range of disabilities. You have a few minutes left to ask your own question on this Thursday by giving us a call at 910-343-1138 or by emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. And Jeremy, just before we went to break, you said that you had worked on quite a lot of films. I think you said 10 with, is this the group from Zeno Mountain Farms?
Yes.
Which hosts a camp for people with disabilities. That's how you connected with them. So the first one that you did was what? What kind of a film was it?
It was a soap opera. It was not a very good one.
You're shaking your
head. It was called Sweetwater Tides. We tried so hard to make a good soap opera, but it did not go well. Things were going wrong. You know, it was not my favorite one to do.
What kinds of things went wrong?
I don't even remember.
You're blocking that out. Okay. What are some of the other films that you worked on before you got to the Western Bulletproof Jackson?
We did Sky Squad Eagle 8, which was a superhero movie. We did Burning Like a Fire, which is a Dragon Race canoe boat movie. We did something about time travel with Lenny Maloney, which I played the lead role in that movie as well. We did.
Tell us about your character in that film.
Well, people were trying to buy cars, And that was the hard thing to do back then. So we went into time travel to make sure that the cars would be sold. And the other movies that we've done are Bulletproof Jackson, the Western. We've done...
You did Guyer and Gimble.
Guyer and Gimble, a song about a movie about a song that was a very good song. And
that was a kind of a takeoff on Spinal Tap.
Yes.
Do you remember your role in that one? B.D.
B.D. Studebaker, the wedding film photographer.
And what's the most fun part of making films? Do you like learning your lines? Do you like rehearsing, exploring the character? What do you like?
I like learning my lines because, you know, during when we did all those 10 films, there would be times when people would talk, like when I'm trying to do my job and it's not easy. And, you know, I want to be focused and it's hard to focus when someone's talking. And, you know, I like it when Will says, quiet, please. So then, you know, that means it's time to, you know, when we're in progress of filming, you know.
And what's the hardest part about filming? What do you wish you could just skip?
I like doing it all, really. I'm not a big fan of having to wait for to be called to do your lines, but, you know, I'm okay with that because, you know, then I get to interact with my friends.
And tell us about your friends. Have you built relationships that you think you'll keep for a long time?
Forever. I mean, these people are, like, my best friends. I love them. And, you know, I didn't imagine that, you know, I would be meeting all these amazing people and have friendships that lasted for so long. And, you know, I'm going to be seeing about 30 of them next week. So
what are you doing
next
week?
Hello to all those people who are coming next week.
What are you doing next week?
Marching in D.C. So it should be a fun event.
And you're also traveling to Florida, aren't you?
Yep.
And tell us about that trip.
Well, I was invited by my friend Will, who owns Zeno Mountain Farm, to go down to Miami to show the film. And we're going to be doing it in conjunction with Best Buddies, I think. And we're going to show the film, and then I don't know what after, so.
Tell us about some of the friendships that you've made. Who are some of the people? In the documentary, Becoming Bulletproof, there is a guy named AJ.
Oh.
Is AJ one of your friends?
He's more than a friend. He's a brother to me. I love him, and, you know, he's a great guy, and, you know, AJ and I, we do hang out a lot together.
Tell us about his disability and how your friendship grew.
He's in a wheelchair, so, you know, people have to move him around, I think, and it's hard for him to get around, but he loves it whenever he gets the opportunity to come out to see us, and we love it when he's there. And, you know, another very special friendship that I've made is with Dylan Patterson. I can't imagine life without him. And he's just a brother to me, and he's helped me through a lot. And, you know, we've hung out so many times since I moved down here, and it's continuing on, and it's exciting, and Dylan is just amazing.
Dylan Patterson, one of the observations that you've made before is that people who have disabilities tend to be marginalized and tend to be sometimes ignored and underestimated, and I think you even said oversimplified. What do you mean by that specifically? How do able-bodied people who haven't really had contact with different kinds of disabilities, how do they tend to marginalize people, perhaps unwittingly?
Yeah, well, I think we tend to oversimplify any people that we don't know well. And so I think that that's, you know, we're in a culture where we are not seeing very many folks with disabilities in commercials, in television shows, on stage, in other areas. So it becomes this thing where I think folks are not quite sure what to say, or if I can't understand this person, kind of what do I do? And that hesitance, I think, can lead to sort of just some people kind of shying away from people with disabilities. And so I think that things like the camps that Jeremy mentioned and Theater for All, our program here, one of our missions is to have these performances that our crew put on to be an opportunity for folks in the community to to meet folks with disabilities. One thing, they get to sit in the dark for 45 minutes and watch people with disabilities look at people with disabilities on a stage. And they may think of them at the start as people with disabilities. My guess is it wasn't 10 or 15 minutes into the Christmas show that we just did where that was sort of forgotten. And instead, it's these are an interesting group of people who are talented and who are worthy of my attention. And then the show's over and the folks from Theater for All could walk down the steps from the stage and meet people and interact. And so part of our role is to provide an opportunity for our students to learn about theater. And one thing I want to mention quickly before I forget is we not only do – we have our Saturday morning class that Jeremy's a part of. Kim Henry also does outreach at Laney High School with students there with disabilities, as well as with the Transitions Program for Young Adults, and that's through the Career Readiness Academy at the Mosley Performance Learning Center. That's operated through New Hanover County Schools. That's a new outreach that we're doing. So we're really working on trying to meet as many, connect with as many people as possible. And part of our job we see is to connect the folks that we're working with disabilities to the greater community.
It sounds like you years ago kind of stumbled into this world. It was sort of a happy accident.
Absolutely a happy accident. I when Jeremy came to Cape Fear Community College campus as a celebrity speaker, I brought him to campus three different years for a program I did called In Cahoots, which was collaborations between Cape Fear Community College students with and without disabilities. I tell the story of how I met Jeremy, and it started with sitting down in an airplane seat and being willing to talk to the woman next to me rather than focused on my book or my phone. And she said, my name's Jillian Butchman, and my mother started the oldest sleepover camp for people with disabilities. I happened to mention I just made a documentary. She said, why don't you come make this fundraising video? I said, sounds fun. Let's do it. Had I been seated two rows forward, I never would have met Jeremy. I wouldn't have met this camp. I wouldn't have helped start Theater for All. So these happy accidents, I think, are been a great blessing in my life.
So when you think about Dylan Patterson, before getting to know a lot of people and before getting to know Jeremy, different and other people with other kinds of disabilities, what kind of notions were you disabused of over the course of time as you got to know people? How did you change?
Well, I had a little connection with folks with disabilities through Gina Gamboni, who's one of our teachers. She worked at a group home, and also Laura Rosser, who's someone who is a great friend of our program who teaches folks with disabilities at Laney High School. And I don't know. I think, you know, work that I've done with human beings generally, the more humans I've met in the more different capacities, the more I think the better person I've become. I'd like to think so. I don't, you know, part of the oversimplification part, I think sometimes people will say, oh, if I spend time with those people with disabilities, they have such good hearts, and that's going to sort of, and I'm like, it's true. I've known people with disabilities that are jerks that I don't want to necessarily hang out with. I mean, I've had people say, and to be honest, probably even more so in the general community. I've had people say, it's just so nice that you spend so much time with Jeremy. I'm like, it's not selfless act. I enjoy hanging out with Jeremy. Jeremy and I are just legitimately friends. So I do.
So is it something of a dismissal of people with disabilities sometimes on the part of able-bodied people, the assumptions that they make, like they're not as complex or emotionally nuanced or
I think that often people who are not familiar with people with disabilities, people with disabilities can make them uncomfortable. And I think they're often afraid of saying the wrong thing. And then because you don't have a familiarity, then we have sort of oversimplification, or we have not seeing people in all their nuance.
Sue Vest.
Yeah, I think part of that is the lack of inclusion that exists. And if people were just together more often in all situations, it wouldn't be so weird or scary or uncomfortable. They would just accept it. There, almost 20% of the population has a disability. And so, in my view, people with disabilities should just be included in all aspects of life. I mean, it's nice to have a theater group here, and we love Theater for All, and we appreciate it. But every now and then, you know, it'd be nice to see someone with a disability on stage in a mainstream venue.
And as I understand it, Jeremy Vest, you are looking for a job.
Please hire me.
Jeremy, you've been in Wilmington a little more than a year.
Yes.
Is that right? So mm-hmm. you're relatively new here, and it takes a while to get settled. And I understand that you've had some interviews and have run into some closed doors. It hasn't been easy finding a job.
No. One of the most hardest things for me was when I got back from Maryland. I went to camp, obviously, and I had a great time. And when I got back, I wanted my job back, and they would not let me have my job back because they were so not appreciative of me leaving for the month. I told them way in advance that I was going up there. So,
but that's not in Wilmington. That happened a long time ago, and the business actually went under, so it wasn't tied so much to Jeremy.
Sue, what are some of the, and I know you don't want to mention specific places that you guys have gone,
right.
But what are some of the challenges that an employer might find in this case, or that an employer should be aware of?
Well, it has to be a good fit. You know, just like with anybody looking for a job, a person with a disability has strengths and weaknesses. And if you can find a good fit, and a company that is willing to provide a little extra support, at least training. I mean, there should be equity. So if Jeremy comes on board and he might need somebody to help him have a little support for a longer period of time, a little more training, my feeling is that it's good for them to provide it. Many years ago when Jeremy we had a lot of rocky years with the public school system. And there was a time when we actually just took Jeremy out and I homeschooled him. Then we tried to get him back into the school system, largely so he could be in the band. You know, he was an excellent musician, but he didn't play with others in an ensemble. So we fought. It cost us thousands of dollars, lawyers, to get him back in the program. And then at the end, at his middle school graduation, the principal mentioned Jeremy in her speech, saying, you know, having Jeremy there had added to the school. It had been an asset. And then 15 years after that, that music teacher got the award for the Teacher of the Year in Maryland, and he mentioned Jeremy as having been, you know, the inclusion of Jeremy in the band had been a good thing for him, for the other students, as well as for Jeremy.
The band was fun for me.
When you think about the kinds of things that you would like to do to earn some money, Jeremy, what kinds of things come to mind?
I would like to work down here on some films and TV as well, because I think Wilmington is known for, like, Dawson's Creek and, you know, Wintry Hill and all those great shows that I've learned to watch and love, and maybe something can happen. I hope that somebody would want me to join their crew or film thing.
And we will keep you posted on that. That's this edition of Coastline. Jeremy Vest, Sue Vest, Dylan Patterson, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. You're welcome. Producer is Isabel Shepherd. Technical director is Ken Campbell. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at whqr.org or get the podcast from the iTunes store. Tune in for the rebroadcast of this episode Sunday afternoon at 2. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.